So the first round of the McKenzie ASA Pro-Am series is done and dusted. And Foley, Alabama 2021 gave us some great results, some great shooting. And we're so happy to have on the Competition Archery Media podcast, fresh off of a dominating victory, Cara Kelly. Welcome to the podcast. Cara, good to see you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolute pleasure. So first thing we're going to talk about is obviously the weekend. How did it go from stem to stern for you?
Honestly, I don't think I could have written a better script. Like, you know, you kind of run through like a tournament in your head before you go. I mean, sometimes I get so engulfed in what's coming that I will actually dream about shooting prior to going. I mean, it's wild. So I really couldn't have wrote the script better. I mean, from the first arrow, I 12 the first arrow of the day. I 12 the second arrow of the competition. And I was like, ooh, I made two really good decisions out of the gate and they weren't easy targets. And I thought, okay. And so my confidence went from like here to there real quick. And I just kind of rode that all weekend.
We talked a little bit live, you and I, about your preparation heading into the weekend being a little bit different. So explain to us that. But before you do, you have to kind of backfill with the life changes that's been going on with you and how much of a sacrifice everyone around you had to make in order for you to get prepared.
Yeah. So it's no secret that I've had two kids in 2 years. So that was just that's been a wild roller coaster of the last 2 years. So I've been basically pregnant since, January of 2018. So knock on wood. So as long as I haven't been pregnant and was really able to like prep this off season with a number of things. So I had my second child last March. So I was like 8 months pregnant at Foley last year. And after having that baby, my vision did some wild things and hormones and what everybody goes through, and COVID hit. So I expected to miss a few tournaments last year. I expected to miss ASA Texas. I expected to miss Indoor Nationals. I expected to miss those tournaments. Well, when COVID happened, everything got moved, shifted back. So I was at home taking care of a baby when other people were shooting and, you know, just trying to recover health-wise from having those kids. And I was a high-risk pregnancy the second time around. I had a lot of blood pressure issues. And so health-wise, I wasn't doing very well. I ended up going back into the hospital, which I haven't really shared with anybody, after I had my second child. I was home for a couple of days and had to go back into the hospital and get a IV magnesium treatment because my blood pressure was so high. So I spent a few days in the hospital, and it was just a long road. It was a hard season last year, just getting adjusted hormonal-wise, family-wise. And, I was trying to put in a ton of time shooting and trying to juggle two kids now. And we have a pro shop that we run and manage. So it was a lot. And my vision did a lot of crazy changes. And I finally figured it out at the end of the year and spent a lot of the off season working on all of that. So it was wild, to say the least. So coming and prepping for this tournament, I mean, I spent like all off season really getting ready for ASA. That was my focus, my goal. And that includes the whole family. So my husband working on my equipment. And so we made the decision. We have some friends that live down in the Eufaula area. We made a decision to fly me down early so that I could kind of, I had been playing with contacts. I had been playing with glasses. What was I going to run? What was I going to do? My family stepped up. His family stepped up. We got the kids covered. Jason's going to work during the day, watch one of the sons. Family was going to watch the other baby. Like, we were just going to juggle things out. And I left Sunday and started looking at targets bright and early, 7 a.m. Monday morning, and worked my butt off Monday, Tuesday, drove to Foley Wednesday. So usually I would fly in Tuesday night, start looking at targets in Foley on Wednesday. But having shot Foley as much as we have, I know the practice range looks nothing like the ranges. Like, it doesn't really, I swear, every range you go to in Foley looks completely different. So I wanted to get down somewhere that had some tunnels, had some lanes, had some pine trees that I could actually look at that would kind of resemble what I'd be seeing, and figure out, would I be running contacts or would I be running glasses, and what was going to work the best. And I figured out right away that I was going to be shooting glasses. And that, you know, I'm glad we made the decision.
What were some of the challenges with contact lenses versus, what were some of the challenges with contact lenses versus glasses? Yeah.
So I can shoot with my contacts indoors. Like, I can see fantastic 20 yards with my contacts on. So I thought, oh yeah, I'll be able to get out and start judging and I'll be able to shoot with my contacts on. That wasn't the case. The way I judge by shifting my eyes. I don't blink a lot, wow, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I started judging and I'm like, oh, I can't see anything. Like, I can't see the definition on the target. I can't see stuff. So by the time I get into my shot, my contacts were so dry that I couldn't even like see my pen, and I was seeing all this funkiness. So I was like, eh. So I think I lasted about 3 targets and I pulled the suckers out and put my glasses on, and I was like, oh, this is nice. But I would have never known that had I not went down early and really kind of experimented and kind of figured all that out. It would probably put me in a little more of a panic on Wednesday. So I was glad that.
But also, let's talk about the mental health portion of it. I mean, you'd been basically with 2 kids, I would imagine, and now all of a sudden you get a little bit of a break from.
Yeah, it was heaven. I'm not going to lie. It was nice to mentally like decompress from having to worry about the kids and the shop. And luckily, whenever I go to a tournament, my husband turns off, like, he doesn't tell me anything that's going on in the shop. Like, I basically have to beg or ask or plead, but he doesn't tell me. He's like, so he won't tell me anything that's going on with anything shop related until I get home. So it's kind of funny, but it was really nice to just have that time to really focus on archery and relax, so to speak, and kind of get my mind mentally where I needed it to be.
Well, let's go back in time. Tell me about how archery started for you. And I know you've been at it for quite a while, and how have you been able to keep your love for archery all these years and your passion for it and your desire to win and drive forward?
That's a great question. I started shooting a bow at the age of 3. And I literally started shooting local tournaments at 5, and we went to my first ever big tournament. Was in 1997, Flatwoods, West Virginia, and it was the IBO Worlds, and I was hooked. And so was my dad. My dad and I grew up shooting with my dad. He'd take me everywhere shooting around the state, and he started taking more of an interest in it. He was an avid bow hunter, and he started taking more of an interest in it as I took more of an interest in it. So as my passion kind of grew for it, it not only became something that I could do, but he could do also. And I've grown up shooting with him. We've had a blast traveling around the United States shooting 3D tournaments. And ever since 1997, I don't think we've missed an IBO. Like, I mean, literally, like, I have literally gone and traveled to national tournaments since then. So we never looked back. We were hooked. And and literally the rest is history. Like, I love shooting so much. I say this all the time. I'd still shoot my bow if I couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. Like, I just love it. I love it. It's my zen. It's my home. It's my, you know, it's what makes me me. So even if I didn't shoot in the pro class and hadn't been blessed with the success that I've been able to have, I'd still shoot because I just love it. It's just a part of who I am. So.
And you're immersed in it, though, all the time because of the shop as well, right? I mean, it's.
Yes. It's archery 24/7.
It is archery 24/7. And, you know, like, I had a conversation on the podcast with Levi Morgan, and we talked about how he started at a young age. But then mm-hmm. when he got to high school, he actually shot his last tournament, IBO Worlds, at 14 years old. And he did not pick a bow up again until he graduated from high school, you know, at 18 years old. Yeah. Has there ever been a time when you actually had taken a break from archery, or you've just been plowing straight through ever since?
I've been plowing straight through ever since.
Shoot, I literally pregnant, you know, oh, have yeah, a baby, get yeah, right back on the range.
Getting big and pregnant. Yeah. I mean, I've literally never, never put it down. I won my first world championship in 1998, coincidentally, against Levi, and I was taller than him. But it's just funny. It's funny. And I've never wanted to put it down. It's just, like I said, it's a part of who I am. And it literally drives me. Like it's if I don't go without shooting my bow now, granted, I will take off. And people ask me, what's your off season look like? I'll take off August to pretty much late October, early November. Like I won't pick up a bow other than if I want to go hunting, but I literally will take those few months off to decompress because literally it's archery every day from literally November to August. And now our season's getting expanded out even longer, end of August, early September. So I need that mental decompress, like, because I'm all in. I've literally done that since like high school, literally, like since I was shooting like the young adult classes. I've always taken that time off.
So it's like 9 months on, 3 months off.
Right. Mm. Right. I won't even look at my bow.
Well, let's dive a little deeper into archery itself, though, with you, because I'm curious to find out if you have shot other types of bows. I know, obviously, you compete in compound, but do you have a love for anything? Do you shoot a bear bow? Have you shot a recurve? Like, what are the different, you know, types of things you've dived into in terms of equipment? Is there any?
No, I actually started out with a recurve that was bigger than me. And we have pictures of me with my little Batman shirt on, thumbs up, arrow and bullseye, you know, like bigger bow than me. But that's how I started, was just a recurve bear bow. And then I got a little, I think it was a little Micro Jennings back in the day. And my dad had it dipped teal. So I had a cool little bow. And that was my first compound. So yeah. And then once I started shooting compound and I started pins, and I always kind of shot a release, never really shot the finger thing, and just built on that.
What about on the dot side of things or field archery? What are the other disciplines of archery that you like or that you've sampled?
So I've shot a lot of indoors. I've shot Lancaster. I've shot Vegas. I've shot indoor nationals. My highest finish is second place 2 years in a row in shoot-offs for first at indoor nationals. Like I'm bound and determined one of these years to win that sucker, I swear. But I've been blessed with some very high qualifications at Lancaster. I've shot some very good scores in Vegas. I like shooting indoors because it's a different level of challenge for me. It's something that, you know, I have a goal. Of course, I want to win one. You know, that would be my ultimate goal because it is such a different discipline. It's such a different game to archery. And I think it fuels my passion for archery even more because it's something that, I mean, 3D, I know the ins and outs. You know, I know how to play the game. I know all the elements and the components, and I have my confidence in that game. And I remember the first time that I went to an indoor tournament, I literally felt like a fish out of water. Like, I was like, what is happening right now? You know, and I literally shot a bow all my life, but it was just so different. It was so different in terms of the mental preparation for the event, the how you have to stay committed to the shot process, everything. You know, it's just a very different element.
Hmm. Let's talk about women in archery. You know, a component that's critical, I think, for the success of archery moving forward. But as we see, there aren't as many women participating as there are men. But I know you're an advocate for, you know, women participating in archery. So what do you think the key to success is to draw women into the sport of archery?
I think one of the biggest things that we've seen, especially like in ASA, we've seen an influx of women coming on board and shooting, is I think it's huge for women to understand that what works for them may not necessarily work for their husbands or vice versa. So I think a lot of times what we find is women get frustrated. Like they may pick up a bow, they start shooting it, and their husband or boyfriend say, oh, this works. You know, and usually a lot of times it is a male influencer that's getting, you know, a woman involved in the sport. With that being said, a lot of times that individual may not know what's going to work for a woman. So I see it a lot. I do a lot of coaching. I work with a lot of kids, a lot of youth, a lot of women, and men also. But I do see what works for women is a lot different than what works for a man. So you don't see me necessarily shooting, for example, a stabilizer setup with a 30-inch front bar or a 12-inch back bar and 8-10 ounces out the front and vice versa. Like, you just don't see that from me personally. But you see almost the majority of every man out there shooting that type of combination. So I think it's important for women to not get frustrated and really find what works for them. So I try to, especially coaching, I try to really break it down to what are you seeing? What are you doing? How can I help you individually, you know, be successful? So I think I love seeing more and more women get involved. I love seeing families, especially like at the ASA tournaments. There's a lot of families out competing from, you know, their young children, you know, wives, spouses, vice versa. I think it's awesome to see that. And I think that makes a big impact on the growth within the women numbers.
And what have you seen in the shop in terms of family participation in archery with COVID specifically? You know, the interesting part about the archery industry is we don't have companies that are publicly traded that have to give up their information. So we really don't have a really solid snapshot of the industry. So really, it kind of boils down to your particular shop in Michigan. What have you seen, especially over the last 12 months?
Well, we've seen exactly that. We've seen families getting involved in the sport because they can do it together. You know, like, we've seen a huge influx of everything selling in terms of archery equipment because people know they can do that. They can go outside in their backyard. They can shoot as a family. You know, we were one of the top Mission dealer sellers again this past year in 2020. And that's because that's an adjustable bow that anybody can really shoot, you know, whether it be a young child, 4 or 5 years old, to a grown adult with a 30-inch draw. So it's just, we were, and I know many shops across the country were, we were blown away by the number of bow sales and people getting involved in the sport. And, you know, I know we saw, like, as even as a class, like as a women's pro class, I think we were more affected by COVID this past year just because the majority of our class works. You know, they are people that are active, have families. A lot of the male pros, yes, the majority do work also, but a lot of them make a living doing it. So when an archery tournament goes, they can go. So I think we saw more of a struggle of that with people not being able to, having to quarantine for 14 days, going back home and not being able to afford to do that. You know, so I think that we saw, I think the women's classes as a whole saw an issue in 2020 due to the COVID and the pandemic. And, but I know we sold a lot of bows last year to people that wanted to get involved and into the sport because it was something they could do, you know? So it's just interesting how that all works out.
Speaking of the ASA women's class, you know, with women's pro, you know, there's been chatter over the last couple of years about kind of making it available for more women to come shoot, because if you really look at it, you have two jobs, don't you? One of your jobs is judging distance. And then the second job is obviously shot execution. So, you know, when you look at the change ASA made this year, creating a women's known 50 class, right? Big moves in that direction. But from your perspective, what advice would you give to someone who wants to come shoot, male or female, makes no difference, to say, this is why you should come shoot the category where you do need to judge distance and play this game in a different way, and how you would manage your time in order to do that? Because you're a shining example of that, shop owner, mother, trying to, you know, do all these things and work on your shot all the time. And as you are well aware, sitting in the middle of snow, you can't judge targets with snow. It doesn't translate to Alabama, you know, a couple of days later. So how would you really, what advice do you have for people that are talking about that? Like, can I do this?
I really think that sometimes, there, it's such a loaded question.
I know it is.
Because there's so many components.
I know.
There's so many components. But the biggest thing that 3D archery is based upon is playing a game. And I think a lot of people discredit themselves from being able to play that game and not realizing that they might actually do better if they were playing the game. So to elaborate on that a little bit, I have a good friend that chose to shoot known this year. She chose to shoot unknown this year. She had shot known prior. When she looked at her scores from this tournament, from Foley, and looked at her past scores, she actually shot better shooting unknown, playing the game, than when she had shot shooting known. And I tend to kind of hear that a lot from people. I don't know if it's because I shoot unknown more. You know, that's my bread and butter. But I tend to hear that more from people that if they play the game, it kind of takes the stress off of knowing the number and having to make the shot and that component of it. And they're better off judging yardage, understanding kind of what's in their toolbox in terms of the elements, where to aim, how to strategize on targets, and allowing, kind of knowing the rise and fall of their bow and playing off of all of that, and they're shooting better scores. I mean, a lot of what goes into known yardage, it's a huge mental component. Huge. I shot OPA. I've shot known yardage games. It's hard because not only now do you know the number, but you have to strategize where to aim and how to execute a proper shot and hit there. So yes, I'm doing all of that as well, but I'm doing that in a little more of I'm relying on myself. You know what I mean? Like I'm relying on myself to judge that target, look at all the elements that are put into the equation. Am I the first shooter up? Am I the last shooter up? How's the target set here? How's the lighting look? Where am I going to aim? Because I set my sight based on where I'm going to aim. Everything goes into the equation. And this past fall, Archer, which I'm obviously a part of, did some judge on seminars across the country. And Jack Wallace and myself were the people for that, for the facilitators for that. And it was amazing to see the look. I mean, a lot of our students were people that had shot known for years. And we started getting into all this stuff, like, what's your money target? What's the target that tricks you up? What's the, you know, we started giving them things that they could put in their toolbox, so to speak, that they could take out on the range
Damn
and apply.
Turkey, man.
Right?
Turkey.
Mine was the Russian boar this past week. But
the
literally.
Russian, yeah,
like,
yeah, of course. Yeah, the Russian
yeah,
boar.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like literally, it was cool to see people being like, oh my gosh, I never even factored that in, trying to judge yardage. And a lot of those people went from shooting known classes to shooting unknown. And I know two of them that attended our judge on seminar actually won their classes this past weekend, which is pretty cool. Pretty cool.
What I find too, and I'm not sure if you'd agree with this, but what I find is that Tim Gillingham's a really good example. When I, you know, I've shot shoulder to shoulder with him at USA Archery, 50 meter type stuff. And the one thing I noticed about Tim was that when it was windy, I mean, he could absolutely just drill the center. There are times when it's calm, it's 50 meter, as you know, you're standing there, you just deliver an arrow after arrow, mm-hmm. and your brain gets in the way. And he would have flinches, he would have, you know, something crazy go on. And so we started the conversation a couple of years ago about occupying the mind. And the one thing that I've kind of determined through speaking with archers like you and with Levi and a bunch of other people in the ASA game is, there are so many things to do to occupy your brain when you are playing the unknown game, because not only is it the judging of the distance, it's the where's my competition, not only shot execution, but once you get back to full draw, is it not safe to say that you have got to calm the little voice in your head and say, whatever, no, the number that I judged a moment ago is the number I'm going to shoot.
Correct.
I'm not going to aim off, or, you know, do I need to add a yard? Do I need to take a yard off? So do you think that it's fair to say that the game has so many elements, it's nicely complicated, that it doesn't allow oftentimes for the really cruddy stuff to creep into your brain and allow you to miss a shot? Was that fair to
yes
say?
Yes and no. Yes and no. Okay. I do. I agree absolutely with what you're saying. I think that it keeps us occupied, especially brains like Tim need that. they need that. So it's interesting though, because for me, I always say, don't think, just shoot. Because I will almost overanalyze too much and overthink the scenario. And then you're basically just shooting yourself in the foot. Like, you're basically taking all the hard work that you've put into that event and shot it out the window. So there's kind of a fine line. There's a shot sequence that you have to have no matter what game you're playing, whether you're playing indoor or you're playing 3D. You have to have that shot sequence. And the minute that you ride off that and you start overanalyzing what's happening and thinking about your performance, thinking about winning, thinking about shooting that 12, you've just eliminated, you're competing against yourself at that point. And you should be your own greatest fan. Like, you should literally lift yourself up in competition. So I really, really try to focus on positives. And like, I called my husband this past weekend and told him something, and he was like, okay, well, you're done talking about it. It's over. It's done. Move on. Let's talk about all the good things that happened. And I was like, ooh, yeah, let's, you know? So I think it's important to have people in your corner that are thinking the same way that you are. And confidence is huge in this game. I have said it for years. Like, if you don't believe in yourself and you don't have confidence, forget it. I mean, forget it. But I often hear, you know, like, you'll go around a tournament village and you'll hear people talking, and they don't talk about their good shots that they made. Right? Because I'd be boasting or bragging, or you hear, like, even me, I'm like, yeah, I find that Russian more. You know what I mean? Like, you don't hear us talking about the positives. You hear us talking about the negative aspects of it. And I wish I could hear more of the positive. Like, man, I drilled that coyote, or I killed that Wolverine today, you know? And it's just, I think we, as a tendency, it's our human nature to discredit ourselves and kind of bring ourselves down. And so my biggest thing when I'm shooting is, don't think, just shoot. And a lot of times I won't even like pay attention to what anybody else is doing around me. You know, I'm in my zone, I'm in my game, I'm in my focus zone. And the only person that I can control is me. So I've got to stay in that right frame of mind.
Well, with that in mind, looking forward to the rest of the season, then, what is your mental approach when you look at the calendar? You mentioned it a little while ago that one of the rounds has been moved to August. For a lot of people, they're normally mm-hmm. shooting or getting prepared for hunting season or doing something else. So what's your focus then moving forward? Do you think about the overall picture ever, about shooter of the year? Are you thinking tournament to tournament? Is it really micro? Are you really thinking about the next event we're going to and saying, I know what this terrain's like, I'm trying to find terrain like that? And like, what's the range of what you're thinking about?
So I always focus on the next event, and I always focus on one target at a time. So I've obviously been in the shooter of the year race a few times in my career. And I literally never, ever look at the point spread or what's happening until right before the last event. And then I kind of get an idea, and I will look at it about 2 to 3 weeks before, like usually right after we come off of like our fifth event and we've got one more left, I will go look at the spread, because I'm just curious. And then I mentally can wrap my head around that for the next 3 weeks and get prepared to be able to handle the stress that's going to come with that, if that makes sense. So I'm a very firm believer in one thing at a time, one event at a time. If I sat here and tried to prep mentally for every event to come, whew, like I couldn't even try to break that up. So right now, my focus, I haven't touched my bow since I got home. I will probably unpack it today, but I usually take a couple days off when I come home from an event. One, because I'm getting the family back together. And two, you know, I have to mentally take a little bit of a break. And then about Wednesday is when I will start get going. like start focusing on the next event and mentally prepping for that event. I think people put too much into arrow count. Oh, I have to shoot 50 arrows today. I have to get 100 arrows in today. I think, and I did this especially over the last month getting ready for Foley, I did a lot of mental prep. I did a lot of, what are you going to do when this situation arises? Or how are you going to handle this? And I think that's huge. I think a lot of people don't stop to think about that or think about that as being part of what they need to prepare for. But if you don't, it makes it a lot harder when it does happen. So I spend a lot of time, especially in this time of year when I've got snow outside and I can't get outside and shoot, you know, a 20 target course. I can't. I can go and shoot indoors, you know, 20 yards spot, but I can't go outside and shoot 3D, which is my wheelhouse, you know, what I want to be doing and what I want to be practicing for. I can't do that right now. So to me, it's just as important to work on my mental side of things as it is my shot. So I do a lot of blank bailing this time of year. I do a lot of like downstairs 10 yard shooting. I do a lot of indoor and I do a lot of mental prep. So.
Yeah. I find that in archery, there's a lot of focus on equipment, right? Like, hey, Cara, what bow did you shoot? What draw length do you shoot? What arrow spines do you shoot? What point weight? And that makes a lot of sense from the perspective of it allows someone to connect with someone else on that front. Because, you know, from my perspective, archery is, I mean, put a number on it, 90% mental, really, at the end of the day. But it's such an unique, the mental game, I find, is so unique to each individual person that it's really difficult to connect with someone on that level. So, you know, I'm curious to find out, from that perspective of you being focused at an ASA event, the reality is that you are a star in this sport. I have to imagine that when you're walking around, people are wanting to talk with you and borrow some of your time and talk about things like equipment or whatever. Mm-hmm. How do you find a balance while you're at a tournament? Do you spend time in the pavilion area? Do you steal away and get back to the hotel room? How do you manage all that?
So I've really gotten, it was hard at first when the cameras start showing up and everybody start, you know, social media really took off in this sport, because I shot pro long before social media was really even a thing, you know, before Facebook was a thing. And I remember the first time we had cameras in our faces and everybody was like, what is happening? What is taking place here? And, you know, the first time you get pulled off a range during your round for an interview and people are like, what is happening? You know, you really have to separate it all. You know, when I'm at a tournament, I love those moments where people come up and ask me about equipment or like how things are going, or, you know, that little kid comes up for that autograph or wants that picture, because I was once that person. So I get it. Like, I was once that little girl, you know, striving for those Happy Gilmore checks and wanting to get the autographs. I have shirts that have every pro's autograph on them. So I'm honored when someone comes up and asks me, what are you shooting? Can I have your autograph? Can I get a picture? Like, I love those moments. And so I have no problem ever really stepping aside, even during a round, to talk to anybody about an interview or answer questions or anything like that. Because when I'm at the stake, that's all business time. That, to me, that's what I'm there to do. And the same thing when I'm out practicing, when I'm at the stake, that's my business. That's my time. That's my focus. So I think just over the years, I think I've been pro now 16, 17 years. Like, how did that happen? And it literally like, it's a part of what makes the sport so great, is that there are people out there that want information and I'm happy to help anytime I can. So I think we all have routines when we get to events. You know, I think we all have those routines. And so mine, see as many targets and practice as much as I possibly can before those events. I love the team shoots for that reason. So I can get out, shoot with the amateurs, answer questions, see the ranges. I love the team shoots for that reason. So I think I love ASA and how it's set up. Monday? Yeah, let's do it.
That'd be cool. That'd be really cool. I know I'd learn a lot. All right. Let's go way into the future. What are your plans with your kids with archery?
Ooh.
Are you gonna let, you're gonna put a bow in their hand, young? You're gonna let them decide. What is your, just in the back of your head, what would you like to see happen?
Well, my 2-year-old already has a mini Genesis.
Of course.
And he does. And he really likes shooting it. And it's funny because, like, if I'm down in the basement doing some blank bail or just shooting, he will, the minute he sees me with my bow, he runs over and he sits down right in front of me, watches me shoot, and then runs to get my arrow. And then I'll do that a couple times, and then he'll grab his bow and he'll want to shoot a couple. But I think the biggest thing for me is that I don't want to make my kids shoot. I don't want them to feel like they have to. I want them to love it like I love it. And I want them to do it because they enjoy it. I don't want them to feel like, oh, I have to shoot because my mom shoots or my dad shoots. Or I don't want them to feel like they have to hunt and they have to fish and that they have to love it. But obviously, it's a big part of my husband and I's lifestyle. And hopefully they do love it. And hopefully they do take an interest in it. And hopefully I can help them along the way. And like my dad helped me. So hopefully they'll love it and enjoy it. But whatever sport they take up, I'm going to be probably that crazy mom on the sidelines.
Oh, yeah. They should be prepared. If you have time, I mean, that's the whole situation.
Oh, I'll have time.
The
don't balance worry.
Once they get older, you know, it's like, are you trying to accomplish everything you can in archery right now with maybe looking at, hey, if one of my kids gets involved in a travel sport and I might have to miss a few? Or, I mean, it seems to me like your husband is the dream husband right now in terms of support and all that stuff. So I'm sure there's a balance. Even with Levi, we were talking about all his projects, and his 8-year-old is in travel baseball. And so they're having to go around and do that too. And I guess for all parents, they find a way, but the question is maintaining, you know, that level of competition for you. So it's going to be exciting to see over the next couple of years and see how it transforms. But taking us back to right now, obviously coming off of Foley, you had a great result. But let's look at the people who you keep an eye on. I know you kind of run your own program, but I would imagine that there's a few of your competitors that you've been up against for many, many years that you keep an eye on and keep tabs on in terms of how they're performing. So how do you see the season shaping up with just this one small sample size Foley?
I think it's going to be a great year. I think we have proved over a lot of years that anything can happen. I mean, and I think we motivate each other. I think we have a very dynamic group of women that shoot in the women's pro class. They're all very good. And I don't think there's, and any given weekend, anybody could turn it up and just smoke out everybody. And it's anybody's game, really. And I think it's, we motivate each other. I think social media is also a good driver of that. I think when we see each other shooting or competing or, you know, we're out there, I'm like, ooh, I better go pick up that bow. You know, I think it motivates you. I know when I see someone out there shooting, I'm like, ooh, time to go. You know, so it just fuels the fire, I think. And honestly, I mean, I've lost shooter of the year races by a point. I've won shooter of the year races by a point. I think it honestly, it's anything can happen. Anything can happen. So it's just incredibly important to just be ready. You know, control what you can control, stay focused on your game, and see how it all unfolds.
And finally, let's talk about your fitness, because, you know, you and I had a conversation earlier over the weekend that you had been really, you know, eating and running, and you've dropped 27 pounds of, you know, being pregnant for 2 years naturally would happen. So how does fitness, your fitness specifically, play into your plan as being a champion archer?
So I had actually, before I got pregnant with Cade, I was in the best shape of my life. Literally, like I had worked out with a personal trainer. I came off of the season, which was 2017, and I wanted to shed some pounds and I wanted to get more physically fit. So I worked with a personal trainer from basically September through January, and lost a ton of weight, was in the best shape of my life. And honestly, I think that's what I shot fantastic pregnant all the way through 2018, won shooter of the year, and then turned around and won it again in 2019. And I really attested all of that to being physically in shape. So I fell a little bit off the bandwagon after having the first, and then found out I was pregnant again with the second only 10 months later, and thought, oh boy. So after having this baby and getting everything under control and getting through the season, I was like, that's it. I'm getting back to where I was before I got pregnant with our first child, Kate. So I spent the off season really focused on losing weight, and I went on a diet program at the end of September and lost a lot of weight very quickly. I started eating right, running, and really, it was a whole lifestyle change. And of course, my husband did it with me, which was awesome. And he was really the one that pushed me to do it. He's like, come on, we got to do this. We got to do this. And I think he lost like 30, 35 pounds, and I lost like 27. And, you know, we're measuring each other and weighing each other and saying, how much did you lose today? How much did you lose today? So it was a blast to really, I mean, I am competitive and so is he. So shocker. So it was kind of funny to be competing against each other. Yeah, right. Over that. So yeah, I lost 27 pounds eating right. I did a diet program called Octavia. And what's nice about it is I could eat the same things I've been eating the whole week at the tournament. So everything that I eat at home, I was able to bring with me. So a lot of times when we travel, one of the big components to that is, well, what am I going to eat when I get there? And then you're constantly like hungry and you're not getting the nutrition that you were getting at home. And I think that makes a big difference in how you compete and how you feel. So Octavia is a bunch of like fuelings that you eat throughout the day. So I was able to bring those fuelings with me, like pre-made fuelings. And I was eating them out in the range. I was doing my same routine I do every day and then eating my lean and green meal at night. And a lot of times when I'm at tournaments, I eat breakfast and then I eat dinner anyway. So I was able to basically do, you know, because I'm busy all day. Like usually don't get lunch. I mean, I'm going, or when I get off the range, I'm going to practice, or I'm going out to meet with someone or do something, or so I'm constantly going when I'm at an event. So this past weekend was super nice to just be able to know I've got food. I wasn't hungry all weekend. It was super nice. So, but I love running and I think it helps immensely. I think archery, legs, it's a huge part of how you shoot and your breathing, everything. So running is just one of those, as much as I hate it, I love it because it makes you feel so much better competing. You know, I don't think anybody loves running, but it does make a big difference competing.
So where can we find out more information about you, following you on social media? What's your stuff?
So Cara Archery, so it's C-A-R, like Car Archery, is my Instagram handle. And then I also have Facebook, a personal Facebook page, as well as a athlete page. So Cara Kelly Archer On is my athlete page. And yeah, that's where you can find me.
And where are we going to be able to see you shoot? Obviously, we know the ASAs this year, but anything else on the books?
I will be shooting IBOs. And I am trying to make the decision on indoor and how that's all going to look. So obviously I'm a very 3D focused individual and, you know, I have a family to consider that I come home to. So I'm really trying to like pick and choose the events that I travel to keep my little ones safe. And, yeah. So I don't know what my indoor season is going to look like. I think all of us have kind of been like, wow, what's going on with indoors anyway? So I know we've got indoor nationals here in a few weeks, and I know we have Vegas coming up in April. So I'm just trying to make some decisions there. So we'll see how that all kind of plays out. So, but 3D events, you will see me at.
That's perfect. So any feedback from anybody about the coverage on the Sportsman's Channel? Have you heard from people maybe that you know in hunting that caught it or anything, you know, as archery starts to grow a little bit in terms of exposure that way?
Yeah, I've heard some positive feedback already. I've heard not only a lot of my family that would not have tuned into Facebook were able to watch it. So that was super cool. But yeah, I've heard a lot of really good feedback just from people coming into the store. My husband's told me some people have watched it that, you know, are just avid customers of ours that, again, wouldn't have normally have watched it. So I really hope that it sheds some light on, you know, 3D archery as a whole, and that as a hunter, you can come out and you can join the sport. You can have fun shooting your bow. You know, you don't have to have, you know, all the fancy bells and whistles. You literally can come out and hunt. And, you know, if you're an avid hunter, you can come out and shoot the hunter class and have a great time doing that. So, yeah, I think it was huge.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, and you know, what people don't realize too, there's even a bear bow class. You can bring a bear bow out and shoot 3D archery in ASA. It's great. All right, Cara, thank you so much for taking the time to join us here on the Competition Archery Media podcast. We appreciate it. Thanks for all the insight. And of course, good luck the rest of the way. I'm sure we'll get to talk to you plenty of times when we're on the range. And good luck in your quest for Shooter of the Year.
Thank you.